For those of you that don't know who I am, my name's Michael Hobbis, and National Coordinator for Christian Watch, and I'd like to thank John Saunders for coming to speak to us today. It's a topic which coincides very much with what I want to say later on. I won't take much time up now on the subject, but because I want to tell you something about the work of Christian Watch this afternoon. I'd just like to read a few words to you from Malachi. You don't have to turn to it unless you don't want to. It's Malachi, a few verses from verse 6 of chapter 1 down to verse 12. Really, the whole book of Malachi is about God's complaint to the people and in their worship and their attitude towards him. Verse 6 of chapter 1. A son honoureth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honour? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you. O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto the governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will he regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. So reads the word of God. And as I say, I'd just like to discuss with you a few thoughts on the state of the church today, which we've heard much about this evening. Our brother has spoken that of the church, the universal church, and the outward expression of that universal church, which of course is the local church, the visible church of the body of Christ. And so we have to ask ourselves, when is a church not a church? And sadly, I believe it's the case today that there are many so-called evangelical churches which are no churches at all. You may say, well, who are you to judge who's a church and who's not a church? Well, the scriptures make it plain that we are to judge. We're to discern things very clearly. And oftentimes I've had it thrown at me, and perhaps you have too. Oh, the scripture says, Jesus said, judge not that ye be not judged. Well, of course, they completely misinterpret what the Lord was saying. He meant a censorious attitude, a hypocritical attitude. You and I are judging from the cradle to the grave. Every day we get up, we're judging and making judgments. We're judging what we eat, what we do, where we'll go next week, how we'll perform ourselves, and we look at other people and we judge whether or not we want to have company with them. Are they believers? Are they not believers? Are they walking with the Lord? We're constantly making judgments. And so we are to judge, and we are to discern what is a church and what is not a church. And so I'd just like to bring out a few points on what is a true evangelical church and what is not. But first I'd like to discuss the times in which we live, because we live in sad times. And I think that there is a very strong parallel between the times in which we live and the times in which George Whitefield lived when he first began his preaching. And George Whitefield said in one of his little sermons, which I've recently been reading, Walking with God, he said, where are the associations nowadays? Where are the Christian associations that there used to be? Well, the Christian Watch is an association. And there aren't that many good godly associations now as there used to be. In Victorian times there were many associations. Francis Ridley Havergal belonged to many different associations, Christian associations, temperance societies, societies which were bringing Christians together in common causes. And George Whitfield lamented the fact that in his day those societies weren't around anymore. And indeed in his day it was said that you could go into the churches and you couldn't tell from that church whether it was a Hindu church, Muslim church, or a Christian church. Such was the state of the preaching. Many of the preachers were off hunting on a Sunday, and indeed the churches were deserted. Until, of course, he began and the revival fell upon this nation, and many think that we were saved from a revolution such as they had in France. Such was the outpouring of God's Spirit upon this nation. Well, we have a similar situation today, I believe, in this society, except we have now what is called the New Evangelicals. And the word the New Evangelicals presupposes that there were old evangelicals. And I am an old person, and I remember the old evangelicals. I remember going to a church where, generally speaking, the Word of God was loved. There weren't any versions, there was just the Bible. Well, there were versions, but they were used perhaps for study, or not many people used them at all. But you had a Bible, and you had a King James Bible, and if you said the Bible, everyone knew what it meant. And if you went to church, you went to church in reverence. You wore your best clothes, and you dressed with reverence. And when you went into that place, you went in with a hush. You didn't start chattering. You didn't talk about this thing and that thing. You sat there in reverence before God, waiting for the minister to speak. And when he began to speak, you expected to hear the holy oracles of God coming forth out of his mouth. This was the old evangelicalism. Now we have the new evangelicalism, where we have much more liberty, they tell us. There isn't this constraint anymore. And I was sent a Christian magazine recently called Christianity Magazine, and it was sent to me because they thought I would like it, being in Christian Watch. And they thought, well, I would subscribe to it. Well, on the front cover was the Gospel according to Kermit the Frog. And it told us how we could preach the Gospel through the Muppets. I don't know if anybody have heard about the Muppets. It was a television program way back, an American program with all these cartoon characters. And Kermit the Frog was one of the leading cartoon characters. And we were told in this magazine that's how we could preach the Gospel. And these marks in the new evangelicalism extend now, we're told, to Messy Church. They have something called Messy Church. I've recently been to CRE exhibitions, Christian Resources exhibitions, in different parts of the country. And in these Christian Resources exhibitions, you see all types of the new evangelicalism and all manifestations of it. And Messy Church is one of the manifestations of the new evangelicals. And for those that are bored with worship, don't like sermons anymore, they go into a room and they can paint balloons, they can throw paint at each other if they want to, they can do anything they like. Just play with things. There's all sorts of little things to play with. If somebody wants to mention the Lord, they can do. But it's not really recommended, I don't think, in that situation. But they call this worship. They call this the worship of God. These are the marks of the new evangelicals. There is no fear of God before their eyes. They don't have a fear of God. They don't have a reverence of God. They don't have anything that's of any depth. Their religion is censorious, and their religion is also sensuous. It's censorious because they condemn those that follow the Scriptures, those that are faithful to the Scriptures. And it's sensuous because they're involved in all manifestations of the charismatic movement. They cry out in tongues, some of them. Some of them are rolling about, doing whatever they fancy. I recently went to one of these services. I was on holiday and I was recommended, I was in France actually, and I was recommended to go to this church. I said, where is there a good evangelical church around here? And they said, well, there's an evangelical church in this place. It was Chapelle or something like that. And they said, go to there. And I thought, well, I won't take that person's word for it. I'll ask around. And I asked a few more people. And they said, yes, go to, there's an evangelical church up there you can go to. Well, I went to this church. And I took my son, who's not a Christian, but he's got enough discernment to know what is a church and what's not a church. And we sat down and we were given flags, offered flags, because these flags were to be waved in the service. And on the side was a whole range of different instruments, rattles, and maracas, and all sorts of other things. And the actual service took place in the first two or three rows, and the rest was a big room where people could be expressive and do what they wanted to and jig about and dance around. Well, this is the sensuous type of worship that's now quite prevalent in our land and in other lands. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So what are the marks of a true church? And I'm being very brief here. Well, the marks of a true church, first of all, obviously, is the fear of God. That they should, we should fear God. There is also hatred in a true church. There is a hatred of sin. There is a hatred of all that's unholy. There is a hatred of everything that's against God and against his glory. And there's a great reverence for God. And that's, as I say, is a brief description of the old evangelicalism and the new. Now the new evangelicalism, why has it come about? Well, I believe the new evangelicalism has come about because it's lost its foundations. And we've been hearing from John that the church is to be the salt in the earth, that it's to be the church is to be the beacon of the nation, if you like. But you know, the rot always begins in the church. I think it was Martin Lloyd-Jones that said that. The rot in a nation always begins in the church. When the church starts to go rotten, the nation goes rotten. And that's what we've got to consider, and why we have to consider, why has it gone rotten? Well, as I say, I believe it's because it's lost its foundations. And in Thessalonians, we understand that in the last days, there's going to be a great falling away. Now, I don't want to enter into any contentious exposition of the doctrine of last things here, because everybody has their own idea of what's going to happen. Some are premillennialists, some are postmillennialists, some are amillennialists. But the scripture very plainly declares that in the last days, there's going to be a falling away. Whether you and I are in that falling away today, this falling away that's spoken of in the scripture, I don't know, but certainly we are in a falling away. And it says in the last days that this falling away will because in 2nd Epistle of Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 10, they'll be deceived by the workings of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. There is no love of the truth. There is a desire to do their own thing and to have their own ways. And if you think back to the Old Testament, whenever the Jews wanted to do their own thing and have their own way, God sent a leanness to their soul. In Psalm 106 and verse 15, we read there that the children of Israel wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted the foods that they had in Egypt. They said that they were fed up with the manna that God had provided, and they wanted the old food that they had in Egypt. And so God sent them, it said, what they wanted. But he sent leanness to their soul. When they wanted a king, God gave them a king, but he sent leanness to their soul. And men and women today want new things in their worship of God. They want new Bibles. They're not content with the Bible that God has given them, a sound version, a sound translation, which has never been bettered. They're not content with that. They want something else. So God has given it to them. And just as he gave them quails to eat in the desert, by multitude upon multitude, so God has given us versions of the Bible, on multitude upon multitude. Multitudinous versions of the scriptures are given to the church today. So many versions of the scriptures that they're coming out of our ears. But he sends leanness to our soul. And if we insist on having a new form of worship, if we insist on casting aside the form of the worship that God has given us, very clearly in the Bible, then he'll send leanness to our soul. And I believe it's this leanness today that's infecting the Church of Christ. Whenever there's a spiritual declension in the church, what do we find the Lord directing us to do? He says, go back to the old paths. Ask for the good way. Where is the good way? And walk therein. Jeremiah 6:16. He always directs us back to the old paths. Back to the good way. He never says, I've found a new way for you. A way I hadn't thought of before. This is a way that will please your technological society. This is a way that's going to brighten up your lives. I've got just the new thing for you. And God never says that. He says, go back to the old ways. Go back to the old paths. Not that we're to be archaic for the sake of it, but that we're to be always faithful to God, to revere his word, and to love him. And we shall only do that if we have a love of the truth. And only God can give us a love of his truth. And if that truth is despised, if it's rejected, if we prefer something else in its place, then there's nothing else for us. And I believe that many of the churches today have departed from God. He's removed their candlestick and that they're gone. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 20 tells us very plainly, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And I could go on and on about the new evangelicalism, but you and I both know what it is. We know what the manifestations of it are. And Christian Watch stands for the old paths. It stands for the old truths. I went to see a pastor recently down in Cornwall, and I said, why do you subscribe to Christian Watch? Why do you support Christian Watch? Could you tell me? And he said, because we feel safe. We feel safe with Christian Watch. And people feel safe with us, not that they should trust us, but they feel safe with us because we seek to uphold the old truths and the old paths. But we're to watch. We're not to trust any society. We're not to trust any organization. And we're to constantly watch and to be observant of where we might be heading. Now, that's a few brief thoughts on the new evangelicals, and I just want to tell you about the work of Christian Watch generally. We're seeking still to expand the contact groups around the countryside. Most of you know that contact groups consist of groups of believers from different God-fearing churches who gather together to support the work in their area. And where necessary, to campaign on various issues, never at the expense of their own local church work. I say that for John here, because he's here with us today. But it is true that it's never at the expense of the local church work. It's always as an adjunct or something which is ancillary, extra, if you like. And I'm going up soon to Liverpool, where I hope to speak up there, and we're going to have meetings up there with a view to expanding the work in that area of Christian Watch. And I'm going up there on Tuesday, and I should be there probably on Saturday as well, because they're having one of these gay pride parades up there, and I think they'd like me to support them in that, in a protest that they're having up there. And then I go back down to Cornwall on the 6th, 7th and 8th of August, and there I'm speaking at churches down there with a view to, again, building up the work down there. It's hard work in Cornwall. It's a very hard area. Whether it's because it was predominantly Roman Catholic at one time, I don't know, but it's certainly a hard area to work in. There's a great work of charismatics down there. There's a big contingent of charismatics in the centre of Cornwall who are very busy, and they're very busy doing things. But as I say, there's no fear of God there, and there's no genuine conversions going on, as far as I know. But there's a lot of wind, and there's a lot of air going on down there. But we can always tell when there's a work of God going on, a true work of God, because the people of God have built us. People grow more and more in love towards their Saviour. They grow deeper in the truths and in the knowledge of the truth, and the love of the truth is increased. But this sensuous, charismatic stuff does no good at all. In terms of our own website, the website is now up and running, and if you haven't been on it yet, I encourage you to do so. It's not completely finished, but most of it is, and you can now go on the website, which is, as you probably know, christianwatch.org.uk. We're also encouraging people to subscribe to emails too on the website, and there will shortly be weekly emails going out informing people what's going on, both in various areas. And we have Stephen here who's doing a good work in this area. He really is. It's Stephen that arranged all this meeting. I didn't arrange it. And he had all the literature printed out. And we had a good book table today, and we had a word in the open air down in Worthing. And we had a good time, didn't we, down in Worthing. And we feel very blessed by that. And David is helping him too, up in Horsham. So that's another aspect of it. Well, thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for listening. And I thank you too for the encouragement you've given to the work of Christian Watch. There was a gentleman sat at the back. He's gone now. But he came and he heard the message today, and he was one of the ones that came to the book table this afternoon, I believe, wasn't it? We had quite a few conversations today. I had a good time in Lewis as well. I was speaking in Lewis in the open air as well early this morning, so we had a good time there. But I would encourage each one to take care in these days, because it is so easy to be carried along into different works for the Lord, which we think are the right way, when they're not the right way at all, as David has experienced himself, I think, in so-called evangelical churches. And we have to be careful. The priests bear rule by means, and my people love to have it so, and there are many churches today where they follow error. But we're thankful for people like John Saunders in Providence Chapel, who holds fast to the truth, and all these little congregations, they're small in number, but they're faithful to the Lord, and give God the glory for that.